Today, as we come to the table,
I don't know if you've been there, but I have. I'm like, there's nothing to draw from. It's almost like where Samson gets up and thinks he's going to go out as he has before, and suddenly he's weak. Why? Because Samson was depending on what he used to be like. And he was depending on his old strength that God had given him. Samson wasn't seeking God for a new filling of the Spirit. Samson wasn't seeking God for that refreshing, that restoration. So when God called him to move, he didn't have the strength. I've been in that place before. And then I've been in the place where God has given me power. I love it. I can feel it. And again, it's not because I have suddenly become Mr. Spiritual or Mr. Holy. It's spending time with the Lord. It's praying. It's getting in His Word. And this power fills us. You're like, you know what? I'm ready to take on the world. I'll be your witness, Lord.
There's a reason God asks you to spend time with Him again and again. Once isn't enough to sustain you. Think of spending time with the Lord as eating and sleeping. You can go for a time without these things, but eventually, you need to nourish and rest your body. The same is true for your soul. You can't survive forever without regularly replenishing with spiritual nourishment and rest. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark will talk with you about the incredible peace that's found in the presence of Jesus. He'll share about the strength you can find and the joy that's unexplainable. But you can't get any of that without actually spending time with your Savior. Let's turn now to Exodus chapter 34 and join Pastor Mark for the beginning of his message, A Shining Face and a Veil Removed.
As always, excited about what God has for us tonight in His Word. It's always an adventure, isn't it? I love God's Word because no matter what you turn to and no matter where you turn to it, God says it's alive. It's a living Word. It speaks to us, and God's going to speak to us tonight. So let's ask God to give us ears to hear. Open your Bibles, first of all, to Exodus chapter 34. Where we last left off in Exodus, we were in verse 29 of chapter 34, and we're going to just finish Exodus tonight. Getting through this last portion, if you will, and I want to start reading in 29 to the end and then go back and look at it more closely. Notice it says, "Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. And then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him." Let's pray. Lord, lift the veil tonight. It's interesting. We talk about a veil, Lord, that was on Moses' face to hide the glory. I ask you would lift the veil that hides your glory tonight, and you would lift the veil that would keep our eyes and our hearts from hearing what you would say to us and receiving what you would say. Lord, first, as believers, that we would receive and be open to whatever you're going to say, no matter how difficult or no matter where it touches in our life. But Lord, also, if there's anybody that doesn't yet know you, that your word tells us the veil of blindness spiritually is still over their eyes. And I ask that tonight you would lift that veil of blindness, whether it's by someone in this room or whether it's by radio, Lord, right now, as they listen in their car or listen in their home or, Lord, some even listening online. You are the Lord of that. And I pray you'd lift veils tonight. And Lord, just do a great work. Lord, let your face shine. And because of that, and your countenance shining upon us, Lord, let our face shine the way that Moses' did. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A shining face and a veil removed. You ever seen someone's face glow with the Holy Spirit? You know, I see that on a regular basis. And I'll tell you, when I see it oftentimes is when somebody first gives their life to the Lord, there's this weight that's off their back and there's this glow to them. It's this whole refreshing countenance. I mean, I can see a glow in their face. And it's because they can feel that their sins are gone. They may not understand the Bible yet, but they can feel their sins are gone. And they also, you know, God then again fills them with his spirit, and there's just this glow to them. Or maybe you've seen someone that just, you know, they're just glowing for the Lord. And you see it all over them. You can just know it when you run into them. I love seeing that. And I love running into people like that. It's a blessing. And again, it happens when someone spends time either that giving your life to the Lord. I've seen it then, but also I see it in people's lives who give their life to the Lord, and they spend time with the Lord in word and especially in prayer. If you see somebody who really prays a lot, there's a glow to them. I literally believe I have seen people's face glowing beyond the normal before. I mean, their skin actually radiating. You might think I'm crazy, but I've seen that before. And I've seen it in people that I know really pray and spend a lot of time with the Lord. And why is that? Because we see in Scripture that those who are close to the Lord and those who spend a lot of time with the Lord glow in countenance. And it's not just a happiness. There really is a physical manifestation sometimes of a spiritual thing that's going on inside of someone. You know, I can look back at my old pictures. I don't really like to, but the BC days. The BC days, you know, and I look back and I look, especially right before I came to the Lord, I look dark. It just looks dark. And then I look at the pictures that happen after that, and there's a whole different countenance. There's a brightness to it that is nothing more than the Lord moving inside to take up residence. And that glow of the Lord, and you guys have experienced that as well. And I think it's not only just, like I said, a glow in countenance because you've given your life to the Lord. I really believe there's an actual absorption of power the more time we spend with the Lord. And we're going to see that tonight in Moses. And I'm going to give you another biblical example of that. There is a phenomenon that we see in Scripture that the more time we spend with the Lord, you actually can, to some level, get a physical glow to your actual skin. Now, we don't see that much with those around us because we're not in that intimacy of the power of the presence of the Lord that much. But Moses is going to be spending 40 days and 40 nights in the actual power and presence of the Lord. And then by the time he's done, you know, he's glowing. It's like those stars, or when you're a kid, you get these things and you hold them out in the light and then you go in the dark room and they glow. But then what happens? Over time, that glow begins to fade, doesn't it? The same thing is true for the believer. The more time we spend with the Lord, the more we glow. The less time we spend, the more that glow begins to fade. And the glow can last a while, but if we stop doing it, we begin to fade. And we, not that we lose our relationship with the Lord, and not that we become dark, but we don't have that glow of the Lord in our life. We're going to see a real glow tonight in Moses. You know, it's interesting. You say, well, Mark, where else in Scripture do we see you an actual absorbing of God's power? I mean, literally, he's going to absorb God's power like that thing you hold in the light and you take it in the dark and it's glowing. He's going to come out glowing. And then we're going to see that he fades like that little star on the ceiling. Maybe you guys, when you were a kid, the little stars on the ceiling, whatever. But then you shine. He gets back in the presence of the Lord. The glow comes back and everybody freaks out a little bit. And then he goes away and the glow begins to go away in this whole thing. And we see that it's not the only place in Scripture, and it's not only Moses it happens to. In 2 Kings 13:21, I'll read it to you. Elisha had died and been buried, and there's a battle that's about to take place, these armies that are coming in, and they have this man that's dying. They're trying to hide from this band of raiders coming in. Listen to what it says. So it was while they were burying a man that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, robbers coming in to steal from the land, and they put the man quickly in the tomb of Elisha. They're trying to hide him, right? This buddy of theirs that died. They stick him in the tomb of Elisha. Now get this, would this freak you out or what? And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood to his feet. I mean, think about that. It's not just a nice Bible story. You know, they're lowering their buddy down. I bet they both screamed. He probably woke up and looked, where am I? I'm in a tomb, there's bones, ah! And they looked at him, did you hear something? Yeah, I looked down, ah! And they're both probably, you know, screaming at each other. But literally, the power of God had been, note this, had been so absorbed into the very body, the very bones of the prophet of God, Elisha, that there was literal power in his bones, his very body. You know, Paul walked in such power and closeness where the Lord literally visited him, and he had literal visits with the Lord, the Scripture tells us, that literally they would take his handkerchiefs and part of his clothing and they would lay it on people, and the power that came that was absorbed into the actual cloth in some strange way, along with their faith, would actually see people healed. Now, a lot of times you'll see these faith healers try to do that today where they'll send a cloth or, you know, if you receive this and I prayed over it and do whatever. It doesn't really work that way. It can, but it really has to be someone that is so intimate with the Lord that the power of God literally absorbs into the very surrounding area. I mean, it's really a strange phenomenon. I'm not going to try to say that I understand it, but we see it with Moses tonight. We saw it here with Elisha. And I think here's the bottom line. If we become absorbed enough with the Lord, we will absorb the Lord. And you see it in people. Those that are truly being absorbed in the Lord will exude the Lord to those around them. And it's that whole bubbling over, that coming out, so to speak. We're going to see that in Moses tonight. Now, kind of as a background for this, if you remember the last time we saw Moses, he had been called back up to the mountain. Moses went up the mountain. He spent 40 days and 40 nights with the Lord. He came down with the Ten Commandments on stone and all this. And remember, they were having the wild party down there. He threw them down in anger, broke them. 3,000 people were killed, those that were rebellious. He made them, you know, he ground up the powder, put it in their drinking water, and they had to drink, you know, their own judgment, so to speak. And then he started over and said, okay, now, you know, Lord, what do we do? And the Lord said, all right, Moses, I want you to come back up the mountain. Let's start over. This time you cut out some tablets, bring them up here, and then I'll write on them again. And you come back up the mountain, and we're going to do this thing all over. Another 40 days and 40 nights of fasting and prayer. And again, guys, I don't want to say that, you know, I do believe that some people can fast for 40 days, but now with water, it's impossible. And 40 days for some people would, you know, would die. That's the kind of thing you wouldn't do unless you knew God had called you to, unless you probably had a physically were able to do that kind of thing. You don't just do it because you want to be like Moses or you want to be like the Lord as much as it's something God called these certain men into. But he didn't have any water either. I mean, the most you can make it without water is a week and a half, 2 weeks maximum. Some say 9 days, but some I think can maybe go a little bit longer in odd conditions. But there's no way that Moses could have gone up there and not had anything to eat or drink for 40 days and 40 nights, lest it be a supernatural event. So this was a very supernatural thing. And during this time, he's just soaking in and absorbing the Lord. And we're going to see the result of that. The result was spending that time with the Lord, absorbing the Lord in his life and being fully devoted. We're going to see the result of it was his face began to glow for the Lord. Isn't that great? And so notice verse 29, it says, again, the setting is Moses had gone back up the mountain. He had spent this time up there, 40 days and 40 nights. So it was when Moses came down the mountain of Sinai, there were two tablets and the two tablets of the testimony in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. So Moses absorbed this glow and didn't even know it. You know, I think that a lot of people that walk with the Lord very closely, they have that, again, that countenance glow, maybe not to the extent that Moses did, but don't you see it on them? They don't know it. You know, it's not like you walk up to them and they notice, you know, when you walk in the room, their face kind of glows as, you know, your presence comes in or whatever, or somebody's presence walks in the room, you know, the lights are out and they're glowing. It's not that kind of thing, although Moses would have been. Can you imagine being in a dark room and Moses come in, this little glow following him around? I mean, when you think about this stuff, it's really freaky. This was Moses, and you're going to see that people freaked out about it. No wonder they didn't. Moses didn't know he was glowing, so he wouldn't know why everybody was running from him. And we're going to see in a minute, they all pretty much just backed away and ran from Moses. And then finally, hey, it's just me. Come back. Everything's okay. Relax. And so he doesn't even know that the skin of his face is shining here. And notice when Aaron and the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Again, I understand this. If, you know, I'd be afraid of my pastor too if he showed up glowing. And again, Moses not knowing it, absorbing this glory of the Lord, glowing before the people. The reason he was glowing with the Holy Spirit was because he'd been spending time with the Lord. That's the key here, guys. It's that if you want that glow of the Lord in your life, you've got to spend time with him. It doesn't just happen. You've got to actually spend time with the Lord. And here's the thing. It's not because of who we are if we ever glow in the Lord. If you guys get that intimate relationship going and you're spending time in the Word and you're spending time in prayer and you really begin to glow for the Lord, it's not because you're so great. It's because he's so great. You know, the Bible compares us to a worm. You read that in scriptures. You know, the psalmist said, you know, I'm just a worm, is what the psalmist said. And so, you know, we can't ever think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Even if God was to really get us, you know, if we got that intimate relationship going and we had that glowing of the Lord, I mean, it's, you can't really get too prideful in being a worm, can you? You know, maybe a glow worm. That's about the best we can be, you know. True, it's what the Bible says. So Moses was a glow worm, basically. And although it's corny, it gets the thought across. It's interesting as well because it's not just the glow that Moses had. The word here when it says his face shone is literally the word horn. Now, not like, you know, what was happening out here on Alcoa Highway. It's like a horn of an animal. And a horn in scripture represents strength, power. And it's interesting when you see someone who's spending intimate time with the Lord and the word and prayer and you see that glow of Jesus in their life, there's a strength to their face. You ever seen somebody that's got a strength to their face? I don't know how to describe it, but you know what I'm talking about. You've seen it. There's a confidence. And the confidence is not in themselves. It's not like, oh, I'm so great, I'm confident in me. There's a confidence in God. There's a confidence in the Word of God that's being shared and what they're doing, and there's a strength to their face. And that really is what this whole word means. It's this glow and this strength that's in the Lord. It's interesting. Ecclesiastes 8:1 says this, Who is like a wise man? And who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine. Notice the glow. And the sternness of his face is changed. Strength. Strength. God will take the weakest of men and the weakest of women and give them power and make them strong. I love it. Isn't that great? The Lord says, in our weakness, he's made strong. So don't be afraid if you see yourself as weak. If you feel like a weak man tonight or a weak woman, in whatever case it might be, God can make you strong. And God can make you glow for him. The answer is not self-determination. The answer is not putting the no fear sticker in the back of your jacked up Toyota. The answer is time in the Word and time in prayer. And then God gives a strength to your countenance. He gives a glow to who you are. When you go to work and they start talking about things that you don't agree with, you don't have to fight with them. You just speak the truth, and there's a power to it. And people recognize that power. You know where the Word of God says this? There's just a strength there. And you're confident. There's a boldness to that. And I've been in both places. I have felt very, very weak. Maybe not in the Word and prayer like I should, feeling very weak. And then those moments come up where God wants to use you and you're just weak. It's like, there's nothing to draw from. I don't know if you've been there, but I have. I'm like, there's nothing to draw from. It's almost like where Samson gets up and thinks he's going to go out as he has before, and suddenly he's weak. Why? Because Samson was depending on what he used to be like. And he was depending on his old strength that God had given him. Samson wasn't seeking God for a new filling of the Spirit. Samson wasn't seeking God for that refreshing, that restoration. So when God called him to move, he didn't have the strength. I've been in that place before. And then I've been in the place where God has given me power. I love it. I can feel it. And again, it's not because I have suddenly become Mr. Spiritual or Mr. Holy. It's spending time with the Lord. It's praying. It's getting in his Word. And this power fills us. You're like, you know what? I'm ready to take on the world. I'll be your witness, Lord. And remember, when the Holy Spirit, what comes upon you, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the outermost reaches of the world. It's not when we make up our mind and self-determinate. It's when the power comes upon us. And Moses now has this power, and God's using him in power, and they're afraid to come near him. Look at verse 31. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him. Notice they returned to him. So he walked up, and they obviously kind of fled. You know, this guy's glowing. You know, what's the deal with Moses? He's glowsus now. You know, it's like, stay away from him, right? And so now they returned to him, and Moses talked to them. And afterward, the children of Israel came near. So it's almost like this picture of them kind of slowly creeping back up, you know. Is everything okay, Moses? You know, you're not going to get mad at us and like something going to happen or something, right? Again, it would be intimidating to see a spiritual leader that's glowing. I mean, that would be intimidating. But he's gentle. He's filled with the love of the Lord. So the children of Israel come near him, and he gave them his commandments, all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. So notice the next result here, not only the glow, not only the strength, the glow, the go, you might call it. Now we see, again, this whole boldness. He had boldness. Here's another result of spending that intimate time with the Lord in prayer and the Word. He's sharing the commandments of God. Guys, here's what God said to me. And I'll tell you, when I'm spending time in God's Word and God shares neat things with me, I can't wait to share them. And I have the privileged position, you know, in study. If God shows me something really neat, I get to share it with you. Now, I had nothing to do with it. I didn't come up with it. I didn't make it up. I didn't do anything. I just get to be the messenger, so I get to have all the fun. I get to say, wow, look what this verse says. Boom, you know. And be like, wow, that's neat, you know. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with you. It's what God gives us as we spend time with him, and then we get to share it. And that's exciting. I love it. I love hearing when people share things, and I realize that's straight from the Lord. I know that's from the Lord. And so these guys slowly start approaching him after running away. And this really is, I think, very typical. We see this all through Scripture. Whenever we see the power of God, until we understand it, note this. Whenever we see the power of God, until we understand it, we typically run from it. Have you found that to be true in your life? Maybe when you gave your life to the Lord, you know, depending on the background you grew up in, and somebody talked about the gifts of the Spirit, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and all the gifts, and immediately you start thinking, and you get a little scared. You're like, well, I don't want to be weird. Moses had already been through this, so he's not afraid of it. Remember when God first called Moses, he wanted Moses to see his power. He wanted Moses to recognize that he's going to do things supernatural and teach Moses, don't be afraid of it. It's me, Moses. It's me. Relax. So it was like when the Lord was walking on the water and they were like, hey, guys, I know it's supernatural. I know it's power you've never seen. Relax. It's me. I'm the one doing this. And remember with Moses, the Lord wanted to show him his power. He said, okay, Moses, now throw your staff down. So Moses throws his staff down. It turns into a serpent, remember? And brave Moses did what? Ah! He ran. Now, he ran from seeing the power of God. But let me ask you a question. Was it the power of God? Was it holy? Was it righteous? Was it okay? Was God going to make Moses weird with it? No. He was going to use Moses in his newfound power to lead over 2 million people from bondage into life. So don't be afraid of the supernatural. Now, does Satan have real supernatural power? Yes. But if it's in the Word of God, you're going to be okay. I used to hear things, people would say, well, you have to be careful about the gifts of the Spirit because, you may, if you open yourself up too much for everything, then the enemy may come in and whatever. Jesus dealt with that in Luke chapter 11. He said this, if you ask your father for a fish, is he going to give you a stone? You ask him for an egg, bread, he's going to give you a scorpion? He's not going to do that. And here he said something very interesting. He said, if you then being evil, that is being born of the sin nature, if you know how to give your kids good gifts, so we are born of the sin nature, but we know how to give our kids good gifts, don't we? He said, if you know how to give your kids good gifts and you're born of the sin nature, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You don't have to be afraid of anything God offers. And I think running from it at first is probably natural. I ran from it at first to a degree, I did. And I think that's a very natural thing. We see Moses ran from it. Now Moses comes down. The people see the supernatural here and they freak out. They run from it because they don't understand it. But once Moses began to explain, he said, don't be afraid. Come closer. Let me explain the power of God that you're seeing right now. And as Moses begins to explain, they kind of walk up and they get a little more bold and say, okay, well, this isn't weird. This is okay. All right. This is all right. I see the hand of God in this. There's power here. It's exactly what's going on. And so verse 33, when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. Now, that's interesting. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out, and he would come out and speak to the children of Israel, whatever, and I have that underlined, whatever he'd been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with the Lord. Now, several things to note here. Notice it says that when Moses spoke with God, he took the veil off. I want to point that out first. Why is that important? Because the same principle is true for all of us. Listen, when you go to be alone with the Lord, take the veil off. I think sometimes we're afraid to maybe pray honestly with the Lord. We know what's going on in our heart, but we dare not say it in front of God, right? Maybe some of you aren't that way, but let me ask you this question. Do you think God doesn't know? You're kidding. Mark, that was in your heart? Oh my, I wish you hadn't told me that. I got to relook at this whole thing now. I'll get back with you. I don't know. I love reading the Psalms because David was an open book to God. And you see David just laying his heart out and everything was just, there it was, all of his emotions, everything was out there, just right there for God to see. And he lays it all out and he just shares everything with the Lord. And then you see God ministering back to David. Well, God likes that. You like it when your children come and share their heart with you and you share your heart back. Hey, what do you think God's like? He likes it too. Don't be afraid. Take the veil off. No veils.
While our time at the table of God's Word is ending for today, please keep reading in the book of Exodus. There's so much to discover and appreciate about God and His awesome power. So much of this book touches on God's redemption for His people. His love and care for them is what compels Him to do unheard acts to prove that He's for them and is there to rescue them. What a caring, loving God to go to such great measures to look out for His people. He has the same care and concern for you as well, and He wants to be your rescue. If you're unsure if you need to be rescued, we encourage you to hop over to thewaymedia.net and ask us any questions you have. Find the Come to the Table link, and then there's a form under Questions and Comments. Again, that's thewaymedia.net. You can also hear this message again at thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app so you know when new broadcasts are happening. On behalf of Pastor Mark, we appreciate your prayers during this study through Exodus. Although this is an Old Testament book of historical accounts, there's so much to gain about the nature of God and His unrelenting loyalty to His people. We hope this overarching message is conveyed through Pastor Mark's teachings. We appreciate your prayers for this ministry as the Word of God goes forth to many who might not have heard it otherwise. Pastor Mark has more to share through the book of Exodus, so we hope you'll be able to join us the next time we come to the table.
come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.